Quemazón, ya empezó la quemazón. Hierve la sangre, se sueltan los gritos con mucha razón. Hierve la sangre.
Chicano, what country?
Aslan, comandante.
¿Qué es Aslan, vive?
Aslan is the land that the Yankees stole away from the Chicanos. Sí. It's the southwest, comandante. Check it out. It's Colorado,
sí.
New Mexico, Texas, East LA, Oxnard.
¡Los Estados Unidos!
Sí, comandante.
¿Por where, compañero?
Comandante, welcome to Berkeley.
Berkeley. Macanudo.
It's the last communist stronghold in the whole the world. Comandante, I would be so honored if you were to sit in my lazy boy at...
Oh, sí.
Remember the Berlin Wall?
Sí.
Se cayó.
Se cayó la pared de Berlín.
Crumble right to the ground.
¡Qué horror!
Sí.
What happened to La China?
La China.
La China.
She lives in Monterey Park. Want to call her?
For over 20 years, the Los Angeles-based theater troupe Culture Clash has been examining the United States on stage through a uniquely Chicano lens. Formed on Cinco de Mayo in 1984 in San Francisco, Culture Clash had originally six members, including a guest we had on Uprising only last week, Monica Palacios. Today, three original members of Culture Clash remain. They are Richard Montoya, Rick Salinas, and Herbert Singuenza. Counting Charlie Chaplin, Bertolt Brecht, Cantinflas, and the Marx Brothers as their influences, the trio has consistently wowed audiences and critics alike with plays like Border Town, Anthems, Chavez Ravine, and more recently, Zorro in Hell. They have performed at the nation's leading theaters, including the Mark Taper Forum, the Kennedy Center, the Berkeley Repertory Theater, the Huntington, and South Coast Repertory. They have also toured and lectured at major universities and colleges, including Yale and Stanford. Culture Clash has co-produced, written, and starred in an award-winning short film, Columbus on Trial. It has made television history with the first ever Chicano sketch TV show, which aired on several Fox syndication markets in 93. They have won awards and had their work exhibited at museums like the Smithsonian and the Whitney, and have published two books, Culture Clash, Life, Death, and Revolutionary Comedy, and Culture Clash in America. That's America with two C's for Culture Clash, I'm guessing. Richard Montoya and Herbert Siguenza join me in studio this morning. Welcome to Uprising.
Oh, that's been... Thank you. It's a little early for us actors, but we're here.
I know. It's a trouble to get folks like you here in studio so early in the morning on Uprising, but it's for a really great cause that we'll be telling our listeners about in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I had to really chop down all the things that you guys have done and summarize it in as short a time as I could, because it's a lot. You've been around for over 20 years doing this.
24, to be exact.
24. You know, in the time that you've been doing what you do, you've produced very, very diverse works. I want to start at the beginning, just in case there's somebody out there who's never heard of Culture Clash.
In the beginning.
What brought the original members of Culture Clash together, and why do you call yourselves Culture Clash?
It's such an 80s name, isn't it? I think, Herbert, we were saying yesterday, we started the Depeche Mode riot in 85, but we've outlasted so many bands. I mean... we remember running into Joe Strummer in San Francisco, and you know, so it's been a long, long time. But way back when, in 84, there was a crazy little performance art scene in San Francisco in the Mission District. And on 24th and Bryant, there's a little gallery called Galería de la Raza. And it's a historic little corner. Guillermo Gomez Peña performs there now a lot. The Galería was talking about Frida Kahlo in 79, Day of the Dead in 80. They were always the purveyors of these things, and not just following the culture, but leading the culture through a very important curator named René Yáñez. And René had a crazy idea of doing urban Chicano comedy, kind of an answer to the rural Chicano theater that was done at the time, mainly focused on farm worker issues. We were urban Latinos and we were urban Chicanos, and in Monica and Marga very much spoke to their gay and lesbian community in the Valencia district of San Francisco. And together it was six of us. It was highly combustible. And you could barely fit 50 people in this little tiny gallery. And it was a one-nighter on Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May, White Flower Day at Macy's. And that one weekend, really, we haven't really stopped riding that wave, Sonali. May I say your name, Sonali?
It changed our lives that one night because we immediately felt that there was a huge hunger for this type of comedy, this type of point of view. Nobody was addressing the bicultural, bilingual, urban Chicano reality. And we were just talking about ourselves, basically. We're just, and you know, how schizophrenic it is to grow up in this country, you know, listening to rancheras and rock and, you know, putting a hot dog in a tortilla, you know, these little things that make what we are.
A displacement, if you will. I mean, a comrade Seguenza. I do remember the hunger, but I also remember the controversy. A lot of people weren't ready for it.
I was going to ask.
The movement, right. The movement was still...
This was 1984.
Well, the movement was still taking itself very seriously. The Latino and Chicano movements, Central America, El Salvador, Nicaragua, these were hot-button issues at the time. A lot of people were not ready yet for clowns in the movement, and we thought in the tradition of Bertolt Brecht that it was a perfect time for clowns to, you know, send in the clowns type of thing. But our work was rough back then, and it's, you know, we allowed ourselves to evolve and re-evolve and reinvent ourselves from 84 to now.
And in the piece that we played right before this interview is from one of your works, of
early
course.
Work.
And yeah, that's it. But right even then, I mean, we're talking intensely political work as well.
That's
You brought Che back from the dead, essentially. That's what
we did. It was really controversial at the time, you know. We were at La Peña in Berkeley, and there people were like, how dare you bring back El Compañero and make fun of him and... You know, order pizza and all this.
It wasn't just that we brought him back. It's that we killed him for a second time. You know, he dies again. Yeah. You know, so you bring him back and then you slaughter the sacred cows again. But it wasn't just for jest. There was some very serious things going on. And it was really the East Coast writers and academics that picked up on that first. I remember a wonderful book called Unthinking Eurocentrism. It's still available out there. Amazon and whatnot, a husband-wife team from NYU really picked up and devoted several chapters to why these guys from San Francisco brought back Che Guevara and then slaughtered him yet again and pointed to a lot of seriousness that we knew was there, but it was always helpful when the academics could point
to it. We take a lot of historical figures, a lot of historical...
like Zorro?
Yeah, exactly.
Zorro!
Yeah, we take a lot of... history and rewrite it and revisit it basically, because you know, who knows if the original history was true in the first place. So we feel that we have the, you know,
you take liberties.
License, a dramatic license to rewrite it.
Now this, the comedy that the three of you, I should say, Rick is not here with us, but will be there on Sunday. We'll tell our listeners about that in just a moment.
Promise.
You're brash, you're bold, you're irreverent, but yet your work has been featured in very hallowed halls like Yale and the Whitney Museum. How do you fit within, or how do you find yourself fitting within the halls of the elite, where Chicanos are not very, you know, are a little bit rare. Less so these days.
Well, less so. They are. I think there has been some scholarship with the work. The amount of research that you have to do for a play like Chavez Ravine, for example, and the excavation, the urban excavation that we have to do. Really, a lot of the work that we're doing, really, academics might want to be doing it, you know. Working closely with people like Dr. Rudy Acuna at Northridge, who always warns us not to romanticize the history of the Mexican people and oversimplify the history of this place, which tries to forget its own history. So you find that actually there is quite a fit. We're at Yale Rep in New Haven because the work demands to be seen at that level, same as the Mark Taper Forum. Here in Los Angeles. And something happened, Sonali, in around, I don't know, about 94. Our lens was pulled into sharper focus, I think. We were secure enough with the identity politics and the kind of dead-end street that could be. We had explored the Chicanismo thing to the nth degree. We were proud of it. We had a place for it. But we were also interested in the worldview, and going to Miami in 94 changed all that. We were interested in Haitian Americans. We were interested in the African Americans of that place. We were interested in Cuban Americans. It wasn't just a Chicano view. It was now a Chicano view shaped by a world around us. And that changed the work, and I think gave us 10 to 15 years more life. And we had the audacity to take on these other characters and other people outside of our own Chicano world.
Richard Montoya, Herbert Siguenza, two members of the trio Culture Clash. And by the way, their website is cultureclash.com. They have very generously donated their talent to KPFK, kicking off our 50th anniversary this Sunday, July 27th. It's a KPFK benefit, and they're teaming up with KPFK's Pocho Hour of Power. It's going to be at the Ford Amphitheater on Sunday at 8 p.m. The local band Mezcla, that we just heard a piece of their music coming into this segment as well. They're going to be performing the benefit. You can find out more about it on our website at kpfk.org. Tickets are available through that site. Just click on the banner in the front page. There's also going to be a celebrity reception slightly earlier in the evening, which I and a few other hosts at KPFK will be hosting that. And to attend that reception costs a little bit more money, but it's all for a good cause. You can call Sue Welsh at 818-985-2711, extension 214, to get tickets to the celebrity reception, which includes the benefit itself and the benefit performance. So let's talk a little bit about this Sunday. What are you, I mean, I don't want you to give away what you're going to be performing, but can you hint at what listeners can expect?
We're very excited about it. I mean, first of all, we're very excited to be doing this benefit. This will be the only local summer show that we're doing as a group, so it's a very
special.
Yeah, it's exclusive. we're going to do a segment, a big segment of one of our most popular plays that we did at the Taper 3 years ago called Chavez Ravine. And, of course, that's about the community that was displaced. And we're going to be playing it with Olin. They're going to be accompanying us with music. And we're going to have an actress, Minerva Garcia, joining us. And so we're going to do a nice big portion of that play that has not been seen since we did it at the Taper.
Hmm. Wonderful.
And then we're going to go crazy, absolutely bonkers and bananas. Herbert's going to don a wig and fishnet stockings, and things are going to get crazy, blatte. But we want to have fun, and we want your listeners to know that, you know, we go way back with Pacifica. It's dear to our hearts.
KPFA.
We really cut our teeth in Berkeley, you know, KPFA and
our sister station.
I think a lot of a handful of people are coming, you know, down from KPFA, and I'm really looking forward to kind of a reunion. But you know, it's like when people like Hector Elizondo volunteer to do the promos, and you know, our friends, you know, on all the studio lots, you'll be surprised how many people are secretly listening KPFK in their windowless offices.
Well, hello to all of you out there who are secretly listening with your headphones.
Come out Sunday night.
And tickets are going fast, so I really encourage listeners to get them while you can. And it's, you know, they're not that expensive. They're for a great cause. We really, really are excited about not only Culture Clash, but the Pocho Hour of Power. What happens when Culture Clash meets the Pocho Hour of Power? We have the Clash of the Pochos, as we're calling it. And, you know, and in the last few minutes, we were talking about Che and how you folks resurrected him and then killed him again. And you've called yourselves the original exploiters of Che. There's been some, you know, there's Che movies coming up. There's a lot of buzz these days about Che and how his face is all over the place. And on your arm, Richard, I see.
No, that's Zach De La Rocha from Rage Against the Machine.
Ah, okay. He's just wearing the beret.
It's Che Guevara, baby. Looks just like Zachy.
So, you know, then talk a little bit about that, because do you feel that Chicano culture has become more hip through sort of imagery of Che and is becoming more adopted, or is it becoming appropriated, if you will, by non-Chicanos?
It has been, and you must allow for a bit of that commodification, you know, if you will. you hope that it doesn't just become a marketing ploy, but there's something, you know, actually in that, as we're in this post-Chicano, post-movement world. Mm-hmm.
Everything's post,
but we're not so ready to go post, because we remember a lot of people in those movement that aren't here anymore. People that got us in the theater, mm-hmm. all of our queer, gay, and lesbian friends that got these guys in the theater are gone. Mm-hmm. And so that's part of the movement. And we remember them every time we get on stage. And so, you know, it's not so much, it's not, everything post is going to be present again, you know. And so, yeah, I see the T-shirts, you know, I see the hipsters at the Gold Room. I see everyone in Echo Park at all the Mexican bars screaming for their free tacos. And you see a lot of hipsters flooding, you know, from Silver Lake to Echo Park. And we must allow for some of that. But in there somewhere, you're going to find Culture Clash kind of kicking and screaming and trying to remind people that, yes, there's fun and games and there's jokes, but there's also some stuff really worth remembering.
And at least it's Che Guevara, you know. I mean, hey, you know, it's not a bad symbol to...
That's right.
To have around, to remember anyway.
You've got a good point there.
Yeah. 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 It could so be the Taco Bell Chihuahua. Everybody has that.
Did for a little while.
Well, what next for Culture Clash? You've been around for 24 years, another 24?
It's an exciting time, our 25th.
And where do you evolve from here? You
know? Well, our 25th anniversary is coming up, and we've got a series of things. We've got a brand new piece we're going to do at the Getty Villa, Aristophanes' piece, which is about war, actually. We've got a brand new piece coming to the Mark Taper Forum called Palestine, New Mexico, dealing with the after effects of the war and secrets on the reservation and secrets in the military. My God, we've got a new piece for Oregon Shakespeare Festival up in Ashland and a new piece for South Coast Rep. And then some film and television
I'm getting tired just listening to this.
I'm getting tired. I don't know how we're going to do y'all. How about?
Well, listeners can find out all about Culture Clash at cultureclash.com. But even better, you can see them in person this Sunday, July 27th. It's the KPFK benefit, the Clash of the Pochos. Culture Clash meets the Pocho Hour of Power. And it starts at 8 p.m. at the Ford Amphitheater with Mess Club performing. You can get tickets at kpfk.org, and to attend the celebrity reception a little bit earlier, call Sue Welsh at 818-985-2711, extension 214. Richard Montoya, Herbert Seguenza, thank you both so much for coming in so early. We'll see you on Sunday.
Thank you.
Gracias, Sonali. Gracias, Sonali.
And for Sonali's subversive thought for the day, I want to quote Charlie Chaplin. Yeah. He once said, "Life is a tragedy when seen in close-up, but a comedy in long shot." That's Charlie Chaplin, and that's Sonali's subversive thought for the day.